You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue here on a Friday, and had him on Monday, and then read about him in the news yesterday. So I called Major General Dave Finesse, the CG of the 2nd Marine Division, and asked if he would come on. Knowing a little bit about him, as I do, saw the articles that were written. I'm not sure they quite capture the spirit that is behind, or the intentions of what is behind it. So I wanted to have him come on and, in his own words, get a chance to, in a little bit longer format than a letter, talk about what's behind his thoughts on discipline and a letter that he wrote to the division. So joining me is the aforementioned Major General David Furness. Dave, first of all, thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
For those people who haven't seen it, it'll be included in this podcast. All you got to do is open it up and click on it. But talk to us about what you wrote and what's got people's attention so far.
Okay, so several months ago, first of all, let me give a step back. When I became CG here, one of the first things I did was form what I call a Sergeant's Council. And that is made up of sergeants from every unit in the division. So they send a representative. So Recon County sends a sergeant, 1-2 sends, you know, everybody sends I said, hey, send your best sergeant, non-commissioned officer, regardless of MOS. And I meet with them, at least once a month, sometimes more. So about a month or two ago, this council, we share ideas. I give them a problem to chew on. They come back to me with, this is what we recommend, you know, and so I gave them, a problem to solve, which was, you know, what would be your basic daily routine that would enforce the standards that the Marine Corps says you're supposed to maintain, i.e. fresh haircut, clean uniform, serviceable boots, clean room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they came up with that basic daily routine, the schedule kind of down there. And so then the discussion was, okay, how do we institute this? You know, are you for this? You think this is something that we need to do? And they all, to a man and woman, said, yes, we need to do this. So the verbiage is, you know, an attempt to get to explain why this is being done. And, you know, I have tried to, and the Sergeant Major and the Command Master Chief try to spot correct as we see things. But quite frankly, I've been focused more on the training of the force out in the field than I have been in garrison. But we see it as we as we move through the division area. And when we see it, we correct it. But, you know, it becomes almost overwhelming at times. And that would be whether we would go into the chow halls and eat lunch or breakfast, and you run into Marines, and no matter where we were seeing Marines where their hair was too long, the uniform was unserviceable, sometimes they even have holes in their boots. That's how unserviceable they are. You can see socks. And so... You know, you spot correct, and you started defining the problem as a little bit greater than what you could spot correct and fix. So the letter, this is just step one in a multi-step plan to get the division back on the right pathway. And part of it is, multiple combat tours as battalion commander and regimental commander in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was presented right up front with the fact that the more disciplined the unit is going into a fight, the less it bleeds, period. And I've seen it played out time and time and time again. To include our deployments together, and we know from the last one in Afghanistan, 19 of the last 31 casualties we had, those 19 were the fault of the Marine, either doing something he was told not to do and trained not to do, or not doing something that he was trained to do, like wear a seatbelt, like do not mess with an IED once it's been identified. And so these basic breaches of attention to detail are a direct result of not habituating yourself to the small details that you learn how to do in garrison activities. Now, we could, during the one-to-one depth-to-dwell decade, you could make a case that we didn't have time. But we had time. And what we haven't done is transition and take advantage of the time we have, the time back in garrison, to teach a love of detail, of the little things, of the hallmark bedrock discipline that Marines throughout the ages were known for and was a actual core competency of the Marine Corps. And I would say now it's not that way. And so you can admire a problem and think that, okay, put a letter out and do nothing more and we're going to fix it. But that's not what we're going to do. We're going to have a week stand down coming up here in a few weeks where we teach people the right way to do things, to reset and recalibrate the force on what is expected of each and every member of the force. And then after that, we hold everybody accountable for that level of performance. So that's what that letter was about.
So for people that are listening to this, have been either in the Marine Corps or around the Marine Corps, or even if you've done neither, is the problem in your mind, is it worse? Does it break squelch? Because this is a constant thing that you hear, right, from older Marines. They're not as disciplined. So is this the continued lament of older, more experienced Marines, or do you, in your opinion, is this a problem that's getting worse?
Well, I put that out not because, I like to write policy letters, because actually, if you know me, and you do, I'm quite the opposite. I believe in giving commanders the latitude to do the job, and I don't like getting to people's business. But when you consistently see it not being done, the primary responsibility of any leader in the Marine Corps or any organization is you lift subordinates and units and supervise them and direct them to the level necessary to accomplish the mission, period. When you see that more direction and supervision is required, you must do that. That's what this is about. So the answer to that question is I do believe it's worse. I do believe that it's not getting any better with individual force correction activity. And, I say all the time, most of the 15,600 Marines in the 2nd Marine Division are doing what we want them to do all the time, and they're really working hard to try to be better warfighters and be able to be that most ready when the nation is least ready, and to fulfill that obligation to the Corps and the nation. But these issues, I think, are, number one, we have a generation of small unit leaders that may not understand the requirement to correct indiscipline. in order to promote good order and discipline. And so now, instead of, you know, young leaders, it's, you know, corporals, you know, when you become an NCO at first, it's always that challenge to be able to break that tie to your former running mates, Lance Corporal friends, etc. But now that all exists all the way up to the gunnery sergeant. And so I feel that we have to reset, like you do reset training in combat to correct deficiencies you've seen to keep people alive. I'm trying to do that here in order to create habits of thought, habits of action that I know promote good combat performance. It's not chicken shit. This is all about combat performance. It's you use, you know, little discipline issues in garrison to facilitate the learning habit that will promote, you know, battlefield awareness, situational awareness, a combat hunter mentality, where your attention to detail is so finely honed and any anomaly is noticed, so you can keep yourself and your teammates and your unit alive. And so that's what it's all focused on. Now, we will do this by, you know, you will clean your room, you'll have people walk through your room to see that you've done it right. We will look at your uniform and your boots and your haircut every day. And those are just the vehicle to get to the end state, which is improved combat performance, a greater level of attention to detail, a understanding that the more disciplined you are, the less you're going to bleed. And so, you know, barracks police, area police, you know, having trash in the parking lot, proud of your, where you, your barracks, your CP, all those things, we're going to try to reinvigorate here. We're not going to try. We are going to reinvigorate here in order to, and the reason behind it is not because I like spruced up and, you know, edged and mowed grass and clean rooms and catwalks and areas surrounding, you know, where we work and live. It's because I know that that kind of attention to detail facilitates better battlefield performance in a number of variety of ways.
I want to ask you about something that I, yesterday I had Jeff Kenny and Tim Lynch on, and we were talking about this. It's an interesting notion that when you come back from a fight, the discipline, like, may suffer because you have to be disciplined, as we know. Can you elaborate on that? Because it would seem to me units that go in harm's way, units that do have people that get killed, they should embrace discipline because they know it's your friend. They know it saves lives. Any thoughts on that phenomenon, or is it simply garrison life now becomes so much more trivial because that which is meaningful to us, that which is serious to us, that which has the most grave consequences is forward, so just being back here is different and not as serious? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that is correct. I mean, I think that's the mentality that we're trying to fight with this, that, well, you're not, like, in Syria, in Afghanistan, therefore, this is not important. The other thing you have to remember, the Marine Corps being the youngest service, is we, you know, a third of the Marine Corps leaves every year. And so, and that's why we're the youngest service. So we bring in 35,000 new Marines a year, and we say goodbye to 35,000, essentially. And so, you know, every, you know, that's why battalions have 18-month to 24-month life cycles, and that next battalion, depending on the leadership, the command team, the way the NCOs are trained and how they're employed and held accountable for, you know, how they operate, will determine how good or bad that unit is with regard to a number of things. But attention to detail affects your readiness and, like, your material readiness. You know, how you maintain your vehicles, your ordnance items, your weapons systems, your optics. It's pervasive, you know. And if you don't, if you weren't brought up that way because you were on a tight turn and all you focused on was PTP and that was outsourced to contractors and then you went and fought and you come back and, you know, most of the, you know, 500 people from the unit leave, you get 500 new ones, and it wasn't, you know, stressed during that 18-month cycle, unless it's stressed at the next one or the next one, it doesn't become a habit. And so you can become, you can go from PFC to sergeant and then become a staff NCO having never really been taught that this is important. Now you come back to the fleet, you're a gunnery sergeant, you're a company gunnery sergeant who is really the guy
right.
who maintains good order and discipline in the company, and you've never seen it done before. So I think for a lot, you know, for some of us, that's where we're at. And then, you know, there's a prohibited activities order, the PAC order. And so if we're wrestling with, okay, a lot of staff NCOs and some NCOs have said, well, you know, if I try to correct a Marine, I can be subject to, you know, them allegating against me either at the IG
right.
or
right.
To say that, you know, you have hazed me or you have created a toxic command environment. Well, my answer to that is, look, I will, you know, that won't happen if you are professional. And I'm not asking you to be unprofessional. And I don't know that yelling and screaming works for anybody. But here's the deal. If we believe we are a professional force, and I believe we are, and I believe most Marines believe or want to be looked at as a professional in the profession of arms, then, you know, there's a requirement of acting professional. So if I'm correcting a professional, I'm going to assume he wants to be professional, and then I'm just going to say, look, Marine, are you adhering to the standard? And he should or she should say yes or no. Marines know whether they're doing it right or not. And they should be able to articulate that. And as a leader, I'm asking you not to scream and yell, but to teach and coach and mentor. And now, if you have a repeat performer or lack of performance, then you have to make them, you know, inconvenience. Okay, I need you and your entire chain of command to get in your alpha uniform and come see me at this time. And we'll discuss your lack of professionalism. It doesn't have to be, you know, like, nobody needs to yell, nobody needs to knife hand, nobody needs to scream, kick over a trash can. It's just unemotional. Are you adhering to the standard, yes or no? No. Okay, how are you going to correct yourself? I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make sure, because I'm going to inspect what I expect to happen and make sure you are doing it right. Okay, well, you are, good job, maintain this, you understand now. I mean, that's all I'm asking people to do. It's not rocket science.
All right. Has the Marine Corps become, I don't know where the right way to say this, is you can't yell at somebody anymore? I mean, are we there now? I mean, normally you see gunnies, they're the foreman, man. It's a construction site. It's not like it's a nursery school, right? And sometimes, have we become... I don't even know how to say it. Have we become that where you can't raise your voice and say, let's go? I mean, is that going to hurt somebody's feelings?
No.
And they're going to run to the first sergeant? The reason I ask you that is I want to give you a chance to comment on it, because you hear that a lot. Like, why am I going to put myself in that situation where all that kid's going to do is he's going to go in the first sergeant and say, I hazed him?
Well, I mean,
because I raised my voice, for God's sake.
I absolutely think you can raise your voice, and you just have to. But and I'm not telling you not to raise your voice. to accentuate a sense of urgency in the situation. Or especially if you have somebody who does something like, you know, if you have somebody who rolls their eyes or gives you the look of, you know, kind of screw you, you're a jerk, look, and, you know, it happens, then you need to jack them up. And I don't think that's hazing at all. And my point is, I'm telling the whole division, one, I expect Marines to be corrected. If you're correcting the same person over and over again, then that person probably needs to be put into an admin pipeline to get him out of the Marine Corps because he's incorrigible. I don't need people that we have to spend a lot of time on to just adhere to basic Marine Corps standards.
Right.
So, you know, so I'm not telling them not to yell. But I also, at first, I don't know that you need to yell.
Right.
I mean, you can be very firm and say, come here, what are you doing? Is this right? No, you know it's not. So you're going to go fix it right now and come back and show me that it's fixed. Go. Okay. Now, I may have been stern, but I didn't swear. I didn't yell. Now, if he doesn't do it right, or, you know, he gives you the, you know, he rolls his eyes, gives a huff, sighs, and, you know, he's opened himself up to be, now I'm going to have to talk ugly to you to get your attention. And to make sure that as a deterrent effect, everybody hears it, so they don't want to go there
anymore. Right.
Okay. And if I have to be the top cover for that to occur, then I'll be the top cover for that to occur.
Because there is a difference between hazing somebody and,
right,
and just like you would do with a child or just like you would do as a coach on an athletic team. I mean, hell, I would even submit to you, I didn't watch too much of the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament here recently, but if most NCOs or staff NCOs got after Marines like college basketball coaches get after their players,
right,
you would have some, people would have issues with that. And so it's just kind of interesting.
And that's, again, part of this stand down is to set the record straight of what we believe is acceptable and unacceptable on that issue. How to correct and what we expect of you. Okay. The other thing is about correction. It's not just your chain of command's responsibility. You know, PSC Furness and PSC McNamara, we can correct each other. And that's not trying to spread. It's everybody's responsibility. Like I said, you know, the whole thing about not wearing the seatbelt and the driver killing himself because he had an IED and he went, like, you know, 200 G's into the steering wheel that separated his aorta from his heart, and he bled to death. Well, why didn't his A driver tell him to put his seatbelt on? That kid could be alive today if that one act was done. Why wasn't it done? We don't correct each other because it's not cool. Well, hey, it'll keep people alive. It's cool. I don't give a shit. You know, so I'm just not willing to, you know, sit back and just, you know, deploy units here to Okinawa and say everything's great when it ain't. And it ain't. So I'm calling a spade, we're gonna fix it, we're gonna get after it, and I'm gonna tell the division leadership, if there's two seats on this train, on it or under it, you pick, free will. And I'm not apologizing for that. So
I want to ask you another question about, we both lived through our year in Helmand Province, and you tasked me when I started, you know, you and I would talk about different SIG events where Marines were killed, and I started tracking that, and then you said, hey, everybody who comes through RSOI, I need you to go down and tell and show them this. This is how we're getting killed. Can you explain, you know, how, as a commanding officer, how aggravating it is to see discipline manifest itself in the killing? And then, I mean, you had another experience in Iraq where a lack of discipline sent Marines to the brig for years, outside of Abu Ghraib in a pretty well-publicized incident. Is it Hamdaniya? How do you say the name of that city?
Hamdaniya.
A pretty famous incident there. So you've seen the actual real-world toll that this lack of discipline takes. Give me the commander's perspective when you're forward. I mean,
well, you know, if you walk into a patrol base or a FOB or a COP, combat outpost, whatever the term you're using, and if it's disorganized, if the Marines are living in squalor, you know a couple things. One, the weapons aren't being maintained. Communication gear's not being maintained. Your generators probably aren't being maintained well. And that, you know, so electricity can go down, which means you lose comm, which, you know, means you could have a unit out there isolated, calling for support. Nobody's answering because nothing works. And so all these things require attention to detail, okay? You know pre-combat inspections are not going on. You know they're probably not doing their 5 and 25s. You know when they're patrolling and it's 115 degrees out, they're probably just walking around. And they're not looking at their environment with a very sharp eye to look for anomalies in the ground, look at danger zones. Is there anything there? Let's do a V-sweep. And they're going to get people killed that don't have to be killed. You know, I would say, you know, the 19 to 31 number is a direct result of indiscipline. I would also say probably 80% of the casualties we took, we made ourselves more vulnerable to Taliban or insurgent action by operating in a way that wasn't the way we were taught to do it. And, you know, we used to have these, you know, signs of complacency kills. And I always said, hey, complacency doesn't kill. Complacency occurs over time. It's the unit leader's responsibility to make his organization, fire team, squad, platoon, company, whatever, inured to complacency. You inoculated from complacency by good leadership. So I said, hey, complacency doesn't kill, because poor leadership kills. So if you really care about somebody, you're going to lead them in a way that they're going to execute an operation, a combat skill, with such degree of precision and vigor that you're going to have the best chance possible to succeed on the mission with the least amount of cost. And if you can't stomach to do that, you shouldn't be in this business. So I asked you to do that brief because as units came in, you didn't know how they were trained. But I wanted to grab them up front and say, hey, if you didn't believe it in the rear in your training, to embrace attention to detail, pre-combat inspections, 5 to 25, all the things that you were taught to do, let me show you when they don't happen what the cost is. And you would go, and you remember, me, you, and Zikafoos, we talked to every Marine that came into RCP-1 for that year. And, you know, we tried to tell them, this is what's going to happen if you act this way. And because you care about it, you know? That's why you're doing it. It's the same reason that I did. We leaned in so heavily to post-traumatic winning. I care about it. You know, I don't want them killing themselves or hurting themselves or doing destructive behavior, and I don't want them developing shoddy discipline habits that I know are going to get them killed if we go to war. So that's what this is about.
All right, can you walk us through the program? So the letter was the first step in this program. What are the next steps?
Probably Tuesday, Wednesday, you remember the, you know, flat ass rules.
Right.
And that's a Mattis term. And he had them, you know, and he called them FARs, flat ass rules. What's a flat ass? You just do it. Don't ask questions, non-negotiable. You will do these things because these things are written in blood. I know if you do them, you'll be successful. So just start doing them. So I had a kind of a garrison set and a combat set, and we're going to try to merge those into one document, and I'll write a preface to that document explaining why this is important, and I'm going to put, you know, the 19 to 31. I've seen people kill themselves. I've seen, you know, Hamidia is a murder that occurred based on indiscipline in the force. They sort of was the unit that was attached to me that I got from another battalion that was, the most undisciplined mob I've ever seen, and they committed a murder. And, you know, some of them are still in jail. So, and rightfully so. But it didn't have to happen that way. If leaders would have done their due diligence and held those Marines to the Marine Corps standard. And so I'm going to say these rules here are what you will do in garrison and in the field. And we'll publish that. And then, 3 to 7 June, we're doing I'm calling it a leadership and discipline stand down. If I was crashing airplanes, I'd have a safety stand down. If my readiness, maintenance rates were really bad, I'd be doing maintenance stand downs. This is a leadership and discipline stand down because we're not doing either one of those things particularly well at the moment. And I think we can get better as quickly as I would like unless we just stop everything we're doing and go back to the basics and teach everybody what we believe is expected of them. I'm going to talk to every sergeant in the division. I'm going to give them a call. I'm going to give every staff NCO in the division the same class and every officer in the division the same class. And then at the end of the week, after we've done all this stuff that we're going to do, to include division-wide field day, an inspection, we're going to all form the whole division on either WPT Hill Field or Getchy Field, and I'll get on the microphone and tell them, okay, this is why we did this. This is hopefully what you learned, and from here on forward, this is how you will act. If you have a problem with it, come see me. I'll get you out of the division ASAP. I'll get you a set of orders somewhere else because I don't want you here. So I'm not playing around. And then going forward, if you see people not getting with the program, you may correct them once. If I'm gonna work my battle with them, so I'm out and about walking around, supervising to ensure accomplishment of the mission. And if, I'm not gonna have a lot of, patience for people not doing it right. So if you're a leader and you're not doing it right, you're not checking your guys, you're not inspecting them, you're gonna not have that job anymore. Because you obviously don't want it or care about it enough.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on and doing this. I know that when the letter came out, actually my oldest son, John, sent it to me, and he saw it online and said, holy smokes, Dad, you know, what's this? I said, I'll find out, but I think it's the same. My younger son just got out. He's on the West Coast, and he would tell me, he said, Dad, you know, and to quote him from something that he said to me today, he said, hey, Dad, in a lot of units, the inmates run the asylum, and it can't work like that. And so, it's an interesting story, and I think it's a discussion that the Marine Corps needs to have, because you and I, you're not the first person, right, to talk about this, to express their concern that this is a problem. You're the first person that's taken this kind of action about it. And I would commend you, because I think what it's going to do is make a lot of other units look inside and say, hey, we have the same problem or maybe worse problems, and we need to address it too, because it can't go on like this. And so I think, I'm not in the Marine Corps anymore. I have two sons that are in it. We talk about it all the time. And I think it's an issue that we've all seen getting worse, and I commend you for addressing it. The last question I'll ask is, you have pretty junior Marines, and you know, it's interesting, when I've done post-traumatic winning, General Furness introduces it and closes everyone, and he's talked about doing that. And often he'll ask, how many Marines in here have actually gone to combat, gone to war? And, you know,
not very many.
I mean, hardly any at all. Sometimes it's stunning the amount of people that are in an auditorium. Just say 1,000 Marines in an auditorium, and there's easily less than 50 hands that go up, right? And
right.
Online you'll get all this blowback, like, oh, the general didn't get saluted at the commissary, or, you know, somebody didn't shave, and now we're going to do this chicken shit. I'll ask you, give you a chance to comment. What do you say to young Marines who probably don't understand this?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm part of what I when I took command, I wanted to do was institute and operationalize maneuver warfare and vision. And maneuver warfare is based on trust. But trust has to be accompanied by responsibility. And so the responsibility is, if you want to be trusted, you must act like a professional. Now, do you think the New England Patriots only work out hard when Belichick's sitting there yelling at the bullhorn? No. They practice every day, and they hold each other accountable for the standards that are the team standards that they know will help them win championships. Well, there's no bigger championship than going to combat, accomplishing a mission, and coming home alive. And so it's important that these young Marines understand, look, I'm not doing this just to see them clean the room. They have to trust me that I'm looking out for their best interest by developing habits in them that I know lead to success on the battlefield. And since 90% of them haven't been there before, I think they need to trust some of us who have that, hey, I'm right. I know I'm right, so they can pillory me their heart's content on Terminal Lands and any other social media platform that they have. But we're going to do the right thing for the right reason, and we're going to better unit because of it. More resilient, better trained, and better warriors. And so that's what this is about. And that's what I would ask them, you know, because I, you know, you and I both talked to most Marine in this division through post-traumatic women. And if, you know, I think it's very powerful, and I think, you know, we touched them through that program. I'll just ask that, look, you got to trust me that I'm looking out for you, okay? Here as well as with post-traumatic women. So.
Well, I would tell you, both of those efforts, I think, find their roots in the truth. The truth of,
right?
What it is to deal with trauma, and the truth of discipline, and how integral it is to efficient success in combat. Because you could be successful in combat and not be very efficient, and you know, you'll be holding a lot of memorial services, and Marine Corps is supposed to be better than that. All right, sir. First of all, Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on, and saw those stories, and wanted to give you a little bit broader forum and deeper forum to articulate what is behind this, and I appreciate you doing this.
Hey, I appreciate you.
There you have it. More on All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.